All right. Well, we're a few weeks away from Alzheimer's Awareness Month in November, but the Alzheimer's Foundation of America is hard at work year-round, and specifically we're going to be talking about an activity that they are going to be holding here in Connecticut in October. So we will get into the conversation with our guests this morning, Chris Schneider from the Alzheimer's Foundation of America, and a special guest, Dr. Stephanie Towns, Associate Director and Training Director at Yale School of Medicine's Neuropsychology Division. She's also going to be giving a talk at this upcoming education conference. The Alzheimer's Foundation of America provides support services and education to individuals, families, and caregivers affected by Alzheimer's disease and related dementias nationwide, and they fund research for better treatment and a cure. We'll get into our conversation, but first, we want to try to put some money in your pocket. Did you know that 45,000 low to mid-income Connecticut residents can still file a claim into a pool of more than $120 million in federal benefits from 2021. What a huge difference that can make in today's high inflation economy, right? Well, United Way of Connecticut and its partners have launched a statewide campaign to find these potential filers and get them the money they're owed before the expiration date of April 15, 2025. The 2021 benefits that are available potentially to you are the federal earned income tax credit, the Connecticut earned income tax credit, and the federal child tax credit. These could amount to thousands of dollars in your pocket for any eligible family. So don't get left out. Get the information you need by visiting ctunitedway.org/getyourrefund, or you could just dial 211 for info line and get into the process. All right, Dr. Towns and Mr. Schneider, thank you for joining us today. Let's first talk a little bit about what Alzheimer's disease is. Dr. Towns, when folks ask you to explain what Alzheimer's is, whether they've recently learned they or a loved one may be diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease, or in casual conversation, what's the easy way to understand Alzheimer's?
Great question. So the way that we think about Alzheimer's disease from a scientific and a research perspective, and the way that we talk about Alzheimer's disease in a clinical setting or in sort of casual conversation can be really different. So the way I like to describe it to most people is, you know, we refer to dementia as it's a spectrum of diseases that involves neurodegeneration, right? So dementias are diseases that people get usually as older adults that progressively get worse over time. Alzheimer's disease is the most common pathology or the most common disease that causes a dementia syndrome. Now, you'll also see Alzheimer's disease sometimes defined very specifically in research or scientific settings by very specific pathology. But traditionally, when we're talking about it, we're talking about the clinical syndrome of dementia that is caused by this particular disease or pathology.
Yeah, and I guess it's easy for people to sort of swap those labels around, dementia and Alzheimer's. But what are some of the specific signs and symptoms that could lead someone to seek medical attention beyond dementia? How does Alzheimer's set itself apart when it comes to what loved ones, friends, coworkers, or others are seeing in an individual that may have Alzheimer's disease?
Alzheimer's disease has quite a few different presentations, but most commonly, the most prominent symptom is usually memory loss. So usually the most common thing that people notice is somebody's memory has deteriorated to the point that they are unable to do tasks that they were able to do previously. They're unable to perform daily living skills like managing their finances or remembering to take their medications.
So these are significantly beyond what might be associated with just normal signs of aging.
Exactly right. So as people get older, they're going to tend to have trouble coming up with words. They're going to tend to repeat stories or repeat questions. But once it starts to really interfere with the ability to care for themselves is when we start to be concerned about a dementia process.
Okay. Well, with nearly 15 million people across the country diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and certainly thousands and thousands of them here in Connecticut. I guess one of the most important tools that folks have to determine whether or not they may be candidates for, or in fact have early onset Alzheimer's, are memory screenings. These are one of the many support services that could be provided by the Alzheimer's Foundation of Connecticut of America and its partners. Chris, let's talk a little bit about memory screenings.
So memory screenings are, as you mentioned, an early detection tool, and they really are something that should be part of everybody's health and wellness routine, regardless of whether or not you're experiencing memory issues. But if you are experiencing memory issues, then definitely get one. And what a memory screening is it's a non-invasive, quick screening. It takes just about 10 minutes, and it consists of a series of questions done one-on-one with a screener, and the results are totally confidential. And the screener is going to ask you these questions just designed to test memory and other cognitive functions. And at the end of the screening, you're going to get a score. And if you're above the baseline score, the screener will say, great, come back in a year. If you're below the baseline score, then the screener would suggest that you go see a physician for a more comprehensive evaluation. The screening itself doesn't diagnose any particular condition, but it's an important early detection tool. And one of the most important things to know that I think people don't realize is that not all memory impairments are caused by Alzheimer's disease. You could have something like a vitamin deficiency, a thyroid disorder, sleep apnea, depression, urinary tract infections. All of those can cause memory issues and are all treatable, if not curable. But if you don't get checked out, you're not going to know. So that's why it's so important to make memory screenings part of your health and wellness routine. And we are going to be offering memory screenings for free at our educational conference on October 16th in New Haven.
And what I'm hearing is one of the positive benefits is if you don't have Alzheimer's, but you still fall into the scoring ratio, you may be visiting your physician to find out about something else that could have deeper health implications in the future.
Right. And even if it is, God forbid, Alzheimer's or another dementia, early detection still makes a tremendous difference, because the earlier you detect a dementia-related illness, you have a greater opportunity to begin medications which can help slow the progression of the symptoms and enhance quality of life. Those are more effective in the early stages of the disease. You have greater opportunity to enroll in a clinical trial. You can start taking advantage of different therapeutic interventions to enhance quality of life and enhance cognitive function to the greatest extent possible. And you can also start developing your care plan and start making your health and legal and financial wishes known, so that your care goes the way you want it to go and that your wishes are carried out in the way you want them carried out. That's not something you want to leave to your loved ones to guess, because they may not know, you know? So it's important that you have a role in planning all that. And the earlier you detect these illnesses, the better. And that's why it's so critically important that everybody get a memory screening, make it part of that health and wellness routine. And if you can't make it to the conference on October 16th to get a memory screening, the Alzheimer's Foundation of America offers them through secure video conference technology every weekday. It's totally free. There's no minimum age. There's no insurance prerequisites. Just visit our website, alzfdn.org, to request an appointment.
Super important points. Thank you, Chris. Back to Dr. Towns. You and your team at the Yale School of Medicine are so fortunate to be looped into a global network of professionals all working toward a cure or treatments for Alzheimer's disease. What are a couple of the latest developments in Alzheimer's disease research and dementia research that really have you and your team at Yale inspired to move forward as quickly and effectively as possible to try to get to the point where we can actually say we're addressing Alzheimer's disease with medicine and therapy?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure you have heard about some of the newer treatments that are designed to target the actual pathology in the brain that we think is contributing to Alzheimer's disease. As we learn more and more about the disease, you know, we learn that it is more complicated than we thought, and that there are probably multiple things that are contributing. It's probably not a single cause, but there is some really exciting evidence that some of these new treatments that clear out some of the pathology in the brain is they are having some success at slowing progression down. And they do seem to be having more success than some of the medications we've used in the past. So we're really excited to see where that goes and hopefully move towards, you know, even being able to either stop progression or even someday be able to reverse it.
What do you have your hands in right now over at Yale?
So we are administering one of the newer infusion-based treatments. The qualifications are still very strict because it's a relatively new drug that was only recently approved by the FDA. But we are administering one of the amyloid clearing infusions that is thought to really slow progression for people with Alzheimer's disease.
Wow, that's fantastic. That's great. Aside from the treatments that are going on at Yale and in research facilities around the world, it really is all about improving brain health at any point in our life, but particularly as brain health proportionately starts deteriorating as we age. Back to you, Chris. Let's talk a little bit about the healthy aging tips that you and the Alzheimer's Foundation of America make available to anybody in order for them to go to work in pumping up their brain health.
It's never too soon to start being proactive about your brain health. And lifestyle choices really can play a role in helping reduce your risk of developing dementia. So things like a good diet that's rich in fruits and vegetables, things that are generally good for the heart are also good for the brain. That's a good rule of thumb to follow. But having a good diet, getting regular exercise, staying socially and physically active, exercising your brain by learning new skills, quitting smoking, limiting alcohol intake, getting proper sleep, all of these are things that are within our control that if we make those modifications can help reduce our risk of developing dementia. And again, it's critically important that people be proactive about their brain health. It's never too soon to start. And again, this can also have other positive impacts for your overall health as well, your cardiovascular health, sure, other facets of your health too. And again, that information is going to be available at the conference on October 16th. You can register and learn more by visiting alzfdn.org, but you can also learn more about these healthy aging tips on our website there as well.
Well, as we said, Chris, Dr. Towns is on the bill for this upcoming event. Tell us more, aside from Dr. Towns' lecture and the memory screenings and healthy brain tips that will be available at the conference. What else can folks find there? And who's your target audience for this upcoming conference?
Yeah, this conference is open to anyone. I would say family caregivers, families who are affected by dementia-related illnesses, professionals who work with them, but also people who just want to learn more about improving their brain health and getting a memory screening and what are the steps you can take to protect yourself. So it's really, there's something for everybody here. And in addition to Dr. Towns' presentation, and she's going to be talking about the role of cognitive assessment in diagnosis and treatment of dementia-related illnesses, we're going to have a session on how do you nurture your brain, different strategies for lifelong cognitive health. And we're also going to have a session that's designed to teach caregivers about self-care strategies that they can use to replenish yourself, or themselves, I should say, because caregiver burnout is something that every dementia family caregiver faces. Caring for someone with dementia is a labor of love, but it also can come with a lot of different physical and mental and emotional stresses. And it's important that caregivers take that time and make that investment in self-care, because if they burn out and they're not able to care for their loved one, who else is there? So investing in self-care is not just an investment in yourself, it's also an investment in your loved one, because you want to make sure that you're able to provide them with the best care possible. So these are just some of the things that people are going to learn about at the conference. And again, there are going to be free memory screenings available too, and there'll be information about the different support services that are available through the Alzheimer's Foundation of America and other organizations. and it's free. It's open to everybody. Just visit alzfdn.org to sign up and join us on October 16th.
Great. Dr. Towns, let's hear a little bit more about what you'll be talking about for folks who may not be able to attend. Is there a difference between how you use cognitive assessments in the diagnosis and cognitive assessments in the treatment of Alzheimer's disease?
Absolutely. So, you know, one of the most important things for an accurate diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease or any of the dementia syndromes really is a comprehensive assessment of cognition. So, you know, we can get self-report from the patients, we can get report from family members, but one of the cardinal symptoms of Alzheimer's is a lack of awareness of their deficits. So we really need an objective measure of people's cognition in order to provide a diagnosis. The other thing that is really, really important is that, as you have mentioned a couple times, our cognition declines naturally with age. So some amount of cognitive decline is normal. And so going to see a neuropsychologist such as myself for a comprehensive cognitive evaluation is the only way to know whether or not what you're experiencing is normal for your age or is representative of a process like Alzheimer's disease.
Very good. Anything else that you're going to be discussing in your talk at the conference that you can share with our listeners who may not be able to be there?
Absolutely. So, you know, other than stressing the importance of cognitive assessment for diagnosis, I'm also going to be talking about how to make the most of your cognitive assessment. So one of the things that's really important is that we address and treat all the reversible causes of cognitive decline that could be contributing to somebody's clinical presentation. And if they can treat those things and make sure that their health conditions are well controlled before they come to see me, that makes any sort of diagnosis much easier. So I will be telling folks to, if they are going to go in and get a cognitive assessment, make sure that things like their mood conditions, such as depression or anxiety, are well controlled, because we know that the symptoms of depression can actually very closely mimic those of dementia in older adults. Also making sure that all of your heart concerns, or any other medical conditions like sleep apnea are well treated and well controlled before you come to see me. And then the only other thing that I'll be talking a little bit about is really talking to the general public about the difference between the cognitive clinical syndrome of dementia and the diagnosis that can be made based solely on biomarkers. You know, the science has advanced to the point now where we can pick up signs of Alzheimer's disease pathology in people who do not yet have the clinical syndrome. And that's going to be really important for early intervention and early diagnosis. However, it also puts us in the position where somebody could be told that they have some of the pathology and they may not have the clinical syndrome yet. Mm. And so that can be really scary for someone to hear you have Alzheimer's disease pathology, but they may or may not ever develop the clinical syndrome. Mm. And so a big part of my job is to let them know where they are on that spectrum. Do they need to be concerned about the actual clinical syndrome, or do they just have some of that pathology and need to be monitored more closely? Okay. So we're going to be talking quite a bit about those things.
Well, Chris has been great in reminding folks that they can go to alzfdn.org to get registered for this free conference and for all the information you need to know about the great work that the foundation is doing and all the resources that they can offer you 364 days around the date of their conference. But also reminding you in the last couple minutes that we have, Chris, November is Alzheimer's Awareness Month, and the foundation has a unique awareness initiative where buildings around the world are going to be illuminated in the color teal. While Dr. Towns was talking, I quickly logged on to my favorite online retail site and saw dozens and dozens of different teal colored bulbs. So folks can be well represented in regards to the cause on their front porches and in their yards and outside their businesses. But it's a lot more than that. Take a minute or so to close out our program and remind folks about what famous sites and what buildings in Connecticut are going to be part of lighting up for the cause.
So the program you're referencing is called Light the World in Teal, and it's an awareness initiative that we launched a number of years ago where people and places on a single day will go teal, which is our Alzheimer's awareness color. on a day in November as part of Alzheimer's Awareness Month, and that's designed to raise awareness about Alzheimer's disease and show support for everybody who is dealing with it. This year, it takes place on November 1st to kick off Alzheimer's Awareness Month. To date, we have more than 1,200 sites around the world that are going teal in Connecticut, the XL Center in Hartford, the UConn Gateway sign over in Stores, and the Wilbur Cross building in New Haven. We have the Pfizer building. So there's a whole bunch of different sites in Connecticut and across the country that are participating in this initiative. And if you go to the event website, which is lighttheworldintl.com, you can see that list. It's being updated every single day as more sites come on. We have sites right now in all 50 states and in 16 other countries. And if people themselves want to go teal, because not everybody has a building that can go teal, you can, as you mentioned, you can get one of those teal light bulbs for your home. You can wear teal. You can post a teal graphic on social media. We're going to have different social media graphics that people can do. But it's designed to have a conversation and get people talking about Alzheimer's disease and heightening awareness of Alzheimer's and showing support for everybody who's dealing with it. And again, we invite everybody to join us. Just visit alzfdn.org to learn more.
I want to thank you both for being part of the program this morning and reminding people about all the great benefits, support, and information available through the Alzheimer's Foundation of America, the upcoming conference happening here in Connecticut. You can learn more about that and register at alzfdn.org. Chris Schneider, thank you. Dr. Towns, Associate Director of Training and Training Director at the Yale School of Medicine Neuropsychology Division, thank you so much for all your help and information this morning, and best of luck with the upcoming conference and all the important advocacy you'll be doing throughout November and year-round. Appreciate your time this morning.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.